Hello and welcome to the English Martial Arts Podcast Show. And in this episode, we're going to be talking about various aspects of the martial arts.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
It's the English Martial Arts Podcast Show.
I love them a lot.
Okay, so after the last few episodes, we can now, I suspect, separate HEMA from the martial arts and the self-defense community, because HEMA is neither one or the other, and it really is an intellectual and sometimes physical pursuit for most people. Obviously, for the competitors, it's not. It's a full-time job, and they need to train hard and do what they have to do to compete. But even then, that is not the martial arts self-defense side of martial arts. So I think they'd be happy with that description of what they do. But we'll get down to the meat of the podcast now. So any kind of martial art has to offer a self-defense fighting side rather than just an intellectual and fitness pursuit of the art. Those that don't aren't classed as martial arts. So let's move on to the martial arts that are considered self-defense arts. Now, when these arts were first put together by their founders, they were purely put together for physical use, for war, for defense of yourself, your families, communities, etc. Because at the time, that's what was needed. Now, if you read the newspapers and look at the news, which is mostly fake news these days, I suppose, you will see, I mean, just by experience, really, you'll see that the martial arts are needed more than they ever were. You need to be able to protect yourself from the many stabbings that go on in London and shootings and things around the world. You need a way to give you that confidence so that you can help yourself and other people. It's not always the way to physically fight, but it gives you that way of thinking so that you can weigh the options up and try and do the best thing at the time. Now, of course, just training in the physical side of the arts won't help you. Obviously, you need to train in the mental side as well, which is more important than training in the physical side, because without having a strong mentality, you won't be able to put the physical techniques into use because you'll be scared. And obviously, being scared to a point where you can't do anything. I don't just mean fear. Fear is a natural thing, but so scared that you can't do nothing and you start begging and, oh, please don't hurt me, that kind of stuff, which gives the attacker even more inclination to have a go at you because he knows he's got a victim under his feet. So the important parts of learning a martial art, the mental side and the physical side. Now, this is especially true for teaching children, women, the elderly, handicapped people, martial arts. They've got to be mentally prepared for most situations that may occur where they need to defend themselves, because there are some wicked people out there who actually do try and persecute handicapped people, elderly people, women and children, you know, the sick ones. So mental preparedness first, physical techniques second. Although when people go to martial arts, the first thing they want to do is start waving swords or punching bags and that. But, you know, that's part of the martial arts journey. They will do that from the beginning. But the mental preparedness is a more subtle way of training people. And you get that in during the lessons. But mental preparedness is the one thing that you need more than anything else. So I talk about mental preparedness a lot, the martial mind. But I'm not going to say how I train it, because that's how I train it. Other people will train it differently. You can't copy people. You have to do it your own natural way. If you want to know how I do it, you come along to my club and you learn from me. I'm not giving things away for free, because, you know, that's not how it works. Simply because it can't be explained over a podcast. You need to experience it so that you can take it in properly. And I've always found that direct training for mental and physical training works much better than trying to explain it through a book or over a podcast. Now, there is one thing I would say. When you are in your physical training, you really, really should learn how to use weapons, not just unarmed. Because when you learn to use a weapon, you know how they can be used and how they can come at you and how there's only so many ways a person can use a weapon. And if you've got that knowledge, then that's more knowledge that you can use to defend yourselves with. I mean, I realise that this kind of thing scares people and they don't want to be involved in altercations, and there's absolutely no reason to be involved. You can always run away, but not all the time. So there will be a time in your life when you will have to raise your fists and protect yourself and maybe the people you love. So it's better to be prepared for that than just let it go by the wayside, not thinking about it. And when the situation does arise, you've got nothing to answer with. Another good way to train, especially for self-defense, is to have your students come in class in their street clothes and train for one or two lessons, because then you know the capabilities of the clothes you're wearing. Because, you know, in your lovely training suits where you can kick and punch and flip and roll, you may not be able to do that in your skinny jeans and your tight Rambo tops, or, you know, and the women in their mini skirts and high heels may not be able to do that kind of stuff. So you need to bring in the clothes you wear daily, or you go out in an evening, change into them and see what you can accomplish in those things. See, women may only be able to use hand, elbow, head techniques, throws, etc., rather than kicking techniques because of the shoes they're wearing or the skirts they're wearing. Men may not be able to, you know, kick properly because of skinny jeans. They may be able to, but they might still be able to use the knee, elbows, head, chokes, throws, etc. So it's a really good exercise to get your students thinking about what they're doing rather than just taking everything you say as gospel. It's good that students question their teachers. The teachers that complain about students questioning them are idiots. And I know there's a few teachers out there that don't agree with this, but I always think if women are training for self-defense, they should train against men, because men are the people that are likely to attack them, not other women. And if a woman can handle a man, she can handle another woman. So get them to practice against men who are bigger and stronger, or who are shorter, you know, all different kinds of body types, so that they can get used to fighting. You know, not just defending, but fighting and attacking. Because some of the best defenses are attacks. The preemptive strike. Now, there's always a need for grappling when you're fighting. Not so much groundwork, because, you know, it's all right going down with someone, but when one of their mates runs up and uses your head like a football, it's not always the best scenario. So being able to grapple standing is good. So, I mean, really good art for that is catch wrestling. You know, they've got some really good standing grappling stuff, and it's really an art worth learning, much better than jiu-jitsu. You really need to also take up something like, I don't know, maybe boxing. For the kicks, you need something like Muay Thai. Or you can go to an art that has everything included, such as the art I practice. And you can really, really use all ranges, and from kicking to grappling, choking, punching, elbow range, everything. And it really makes an effective defense against an attacker who's not expecting you to be able to fight back like this. Now, remember, things like the eyes and the throat are really good targets, but they're small. So you don't always get to go for them. You know, being able to hit hard using your elbows, your knees, maybe able to really good put a good headbutt in is one of the things. You know, you've got to practice being able to hit larger targets than just smaller targets, because you won't always be able to hit smaller targets. It's like smashing your fist into someone's sternum. That's a great one, but you've got to have power. So learn to condition your body as well, your hands, elbows, you know, all aspects of your hands and elbows. You know, practice your headbutting, everything. And it really, really will make a difference when the time comes. So all in all, any kind of training in a self-defense art is a good thing. But try and get as much reality into it as you can. Try and make the scenarios that you're going to train in realistic. Train in your gym suits, train in your day clothes, train in your going out clothes. Train every time you can, train in small spaces, you know, in case you get locked in a, I don't know if they'd still have phone boxes now, but, you know, like a lift, train in places or train in your gym and make the scenario that you're in a small space or you there's places you can run to and hide. You know, every single thing you can to make it as realistic as possible is the way to train for self-defense. Otherwise, it's just dancing. You really, really need to have scenario training rather than just going up against each other and doing things like one step or two step sparring. You know, you've got to be able to have scenarios that allow you to react in a way that you maybe would react in a real situation. Okay. Thank you for listening to this edition of the English Martial Arts Podcast Show, and hopefully you'll tune in next time for the next episode.
Listen to us, because we listen to you.